And I am going to tell you that as I did this, my boobs fell in my face. I am struggling to catch a breath. And not only that, I am pretty sure that all my belly fat rolled up into my boobs and laid, was splayed out on my face. And I am sitting there gasping for breath with my legs over my head.
I mean, what if you couldn't have gotten them down?
It's a real thing. I mean, if you think if that muscle's not working and I finally got it up, there's no, I may not could have gotten it down. You know,
you would have,
I mean,
had to just roll over on your side or something.
I don't know what I would have done because I couldn't yell. My mouth is covered up. I couldn't yell for Ron to come help me and get me out of this position.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Or Reagan?
I think it's Reagan.
It looked like Nixon, but I think it's Reagan.
No, it's Nixon, I guess.
Oh, is it? Okay, because he's got a huge nose.
Yeah.
Why do you have a... Can I just ask why you have a...
I'm in John Garrett's room.
Oh, okay. Enough said.
I don't know. It's sitting here with... I think Caleb has like some... bunny blow up bunny outfit or something. I don't know. He wore it at Croy last year. And so he wanted me to take it when I went to Chattanooga and John Garrett knew where it was. So now I'm sitting here with a ton of costumes beside
me. Okay. John Garrett went in his little costume closet and
yeah.
I mean, guys, if
not everyone has a costume closet.
No. And if your grown son with a job asks for his inflatable bunny outfit to be brought down, you've done it right. You've done it right. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Professional. I mean, not working at like, you know, Chick-fil-A.
No.
I mean,
he's a grown engineering person working and he's going to wear that thing to work.
He is. He wore it last year to work.
Yep. Anyway, hi guys. Welcome to episode 100 and that can't be right. 77.
Yeah.
I wrote the wrong thing on the top of my thing, even though I even as I typed it was like, oh, don't be tricked. You skipped one because of that. Anyway, welcome to episode 177 of Designer Cornbread. And you guys, have you missed us? We missed you. Didn't we, Joni?
We did. So we took off for spring break, which was really, I was working. It was not my spring break. But let me just say this spring break that we had, I left Savannah. It was like 82 degrees. And the next day in Chattanooga, it was freaking snowing hard.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Avery FaceTimed me because she FaceTimes like at her coffee break. And all of a sudden she turned around and went, it's legit snowing out here. And I thought, Joni's going to be so happy.
It was pouring down.
It was. I mean,
it was a lot. And so, and I've got students there, so we walk everywhere. I mean, we're downtown chat. It was something.
I thought of that literally because I'm like, I'm sure none of y'all had the right, like, I mean, it didn't
well,
stick.
I knew it was going to be cold. No, yeah.
Okay, and
I knew
but still.
It was going to be cold, but snowing in March when we're calling it. Designer Cornbread spring break.
Listen, March, you know, Mother Nature is going through the change. She's having the menopause and she can't be bothered with any of us. She's hot one day, cold the next. Same. I mean, we've had literally the same pattern where every Sunday it was 96 degrees yesterday.
Yes.
And then it dropped down to, I think it's getting up into the 50s today.
Yeah.
And then it's going to do the same thing next Sunday. It's like wild. It's like a Sunday pattern. So just where we are, just what we're doing, guys. And I think it's the same way pretty much, at least all in my little place that I hear people telling me. So it is what it is. It's springtime and things are changing and things are budding, though. Our dogwood is starting to bud on the back and bloom, I mean, and so there's hope.
Bloom and grow.
Oh, gosh.
Bloom and grow.
Whenever she starts singing, you guys, it makes me very happy. But we haven't talked in a while, so I am very excited to, before we get into your Chattanooga, I just want to share with you something that I found at, and I need to send you pictures, and let me see if I can, of something I found at a thrift store, because I did a bunch of sourcing last week. Oh, where is it? And, oh yeah, there it is. And this lady was looking at stuff, and I was in the book section, and this lady was like, I can't believe it. And she put this book back, and I thought she was going to be complaining about the cost, because the cost of stuff at these thrift stores now, we've discussed it, it's just a lot. But I just kind of looked over at her and made eye contact, and she said, look at this. And it was a World War II coloring book.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to send you, I said, are you kidding me? And hang on, I should probably send that. I'll send it in messages because your face is, that's where your face is showing up right here. And so I said, let me look at that. I said, are you kidding? She said, no. She's like, it's the world. And she said, now I'm all for teaching the history. She was like, yeah. Because I said, well, we do need to, I'm all for us, you know, remembering the things. But let me tell you what the pictures that were in this book. I flipped through it, Joni. You've got a picture of like the Japanese surrendering, like being soldiers being captured. You've got a picture of the people in the concentration camp.
Yes, the Holocaust. Joni, they've got too much weight on them.
Behind the barbed wire, two people behind the barbed wire. Then you've got a little one of Hitler and the top bad guys gathered around a table looking at something.
And the title. The title. The plot to kill Hitler.
The plot to kill Hitler. And it's him and like Goebbels and all his like terrible people standing there. You got to color them. And then I flipped to the end because I thought, how are they going to end? And sure enough, there's the drop of the atomic bomb, because nothing says childhood like coloring a prisoner camp people and atomic bomb. And it's by that company, like I love it, is that Dover coloring books, which are the best coloring books. I had a ton of those as a kid. They're like really realistic. You know, I loved all that. But I was in shock.
Well, you know, I mean, war's not pretty.
It's just not. And again, both of us were just, we were astonished and giggling at the lady, because both of us agreed. We're like, we need to remember the hard parts of war. Like, we're not trying to erase it, but do we need to color it? I don't know that we need to color it. I don't know. And then I told her, I said, you know what else? I feel like the color palette in this coloring book is going to be very boring. She's like, you're right. I mean, you'll need like five colors. You need green, army green. You need like some kind of tan, some kind of gray, a little red, because there's some swastikas you got to color too. I'm telling you guys. I almost bought it because I was like, and to the credit of the kid who it belonged to, his name's on the front, Noah. His name's written on the front cover. And to his credit, not a single page has been colored in his front. Noah wasn't into coloring that. So you know his grandpa like gave that book.
Seriously.
Here you go, son.
Coloring book.
Merry Christmas. Jesus is born. Go color a Nazi.
Left in his stocking. I don't know.
I can't. Anyway, I just needed to get that out of the way. Now on a more serious and fun note, hopefully, tell us about your adventures. Tell us about Skios. Okay, she's sighing.
Would you like me to grumble and complain for
I mean,
okay.
You can do a little of each. You can give us some high points. You can give us some grumbles. We'll take it all.
So we had a good time. I took a couple boys. They'd asked me last year. I wasn't going to go this year. And a couple of boys were like, can we go? And I was like, sure, I'll take you. So one was going to compete in culinary arts. He did compete in culinary arts. And the other one was going to compete in the baking and pastry arts.
Oh, I feel like that's hard.
And I said, well, and it's a lot of cake decorating and a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And he's really good. I mean, he's a very good cook and you know, but there's an artistry to decorating cakes. And so I said, are you sure this is the one you wanted? Because they also, if you're just wanting to go, they do have restaurant service. And they said, well, what's that? And that was, you know, where you have to set the table, all the etiquette, all the, you know, and serve. And I teach that. So I said, you could 100% do this. Mm-hmm. Now, I tell them, I know we're not going to win. And that is not anything negative on them. But we are competing against schools that are like CTE magnet schools, where they are doing a lot of culinary all day long. They interview who can be in their program.
Right. It's almost like they have little majors. It's almost like, that's a big deal. Yeah.
And they compete like at Disney World and in New York and Hollywood, and you know, it's just so they're used to all the competitions and all this stuff. Right. Now, that said, it was just an unorganized mess.
You know, you've mentioned that in years past that it's still okay. They're still having trouble.
And so I'm like, here's the deal. And this was a new person who was in charge of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's a learning grade anyway, but my guy really could, I mean, he's a great cook. He could have held his own and all that. But the first thing you do is you go in, you have to fabricate a chicken, and they grade you on your cuts on that. And then you cut up vegetables and they grade you on your cuts on that. And then you make your stock from that chicken carcass. And so about a month ago, and from your stock is what you make your, you have to make a soup from that. You have to use it incorporated in a sauce in your dish. Okay,
so it's like complicated cooking things. Yeah.
So this year they cut our time. So we've had all day, like you would show up around 8, 9 o'clock and you would compete until like 4 o'clock. Well, now they've had so many culinary people that they cut it in half. And so he had about, 4 hours to do a 5-course meal.
Oh.
But an hour of that is cleaning up. So he really had 3 hours to do a 3-course meal. Had his competition start at 7 o'clock in the morning, which for us coming from central time zone to eastern time zone, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. We have to drive across town. Mm. So for us, it was like being up at 4 a.m.
Yes. You know?
And then, so he goes in and the kitchen, they rent this space called the Kitchen Incubator in Chattanooga. And it's really a cool concept. It's several kitchen stations set up in one building. And then people can rent those stations for like if they have a food truck, but they need, you know,
they need a bigger commercial kitchen place. Or like a caterer or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
That is a good idea.
Yeah. It's a good idea. So, but it's kind of in this U shape and there's a wall that divides each side of the U. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they cut up their vegetables and Jeremy said, we're waiting for them to bring our chickens to us. Oh, let me back up. About a month before the competition, I got an email from them saying they were going to do, instead of doing whole hens, they were going to do Cornish hens.
Oh, now, that's very different.
That's
very little. Those are little.
Very little. The knife is bigger than the Cornish hen.
Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they just do a chicken, a regular sized chicken?
Probably.
It can't be cheaper.
Probably. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, they're doing Cornish hens. Now go back to when I said they have to make the soup, the stock.
That's what I'm.
From the carcass.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, that's not enough to do a stock and a sauce. And
so
a,
I said, Jeremy.
Golly.
You are going to have to, we have a list of stuff that, I mean, they send us ingredients that are going to be in their market basket. They have to use everything in their market basket. And then you have to check off what ingredients that you're going to need. And they will have those, you know, somewhere else where with your name on it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, they did have chicken base available. And I said, you are going to have to get some chicken base. There is no way that this Cornish hen is going to give you enough to do a stock of
unless anything. He just did like a little miniature, like a little tiny doll size.
Anyway, somebody finally comes back around to their side, and one of the girls on his side won gold last year.
Oh,
so,
wow, okay.
You know, she knew what she was doing and all that. Well, they come around and they said, y'all aren't working on your hens. And they said, nobody's giving them to us. And we went, we forgot to tell you they're in the cooler.
Oh, no. So but they had been there and they hadn't started working on them?
Nobody told them. But it didn't change their time. So the guy goes, get your hens. You've got 10 minutes to get it cut up, and you have 20 minutes to get your dish made. So
I feel like some salmonella karma needs to come for those judges.
So that happened. And then he had to make, one of the things he had to make was braised chicken. Mm-hmm. Well, your main ingredients for that sauce is white wine. Well, Jeremy went to get white wine. They were like, we couldn't find any. And Jeremy thought, you couldn't find any. You can go to the lobby of my hotel and get white wine.
Cooking sherry, something. Like something.
Yeah, anything.
Yes. What do you mean you couldn't find white wine?
I think maybe they went, somebody somewhere said, this is a high school competition. You can't have, real wine or whatever.
Just replace it with cooking wine and just, it's not a hard, any of us know how to do that.
He said, I just took some butter and flour. He said, I made my roux and I used some of that watery chicken stock.
And use some of that watery, put some chicken paste in there hope for the best.
Seasonings in there.
I'm putting the salmonella whammy on those judges.
Yeah. It was
this is what happens when you give someone 10, 30 minutes to throw together.
Yeah. So nobody, and he told me later when we had the award ceremony was on Wednesday, nobody in that morning group, none of them meddled. Everybody that meddled was in the afternoon group.
Okay.
He said, I think they just got themselves together and better and anyway, I mean, for a girl to win gold last year and then not medal at all is, so.
There was definitely, which again, no experience is wasted if you learn from it. Because welcome to a restaurant or cooking and things happen and suppliers don't come and all that kind of stuff. But still, you hate it when they've made the effort to get there. You as the teacher, you guys have made this effort and your programs are paying these expenses whatever.
And the restaurant service, they never sent us information on anything. I mean, there were technical standards there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But, none of that. And so, Daniel competed on Tuesday and we went up I could go up with him and watch a little bit. They said I could sit through orientation with him.
Oh, good. Okay.
Anyway, they said, he asked a question. They said, well, it was in the material that we sent. And I said, we did not get any material. They were like, what? Oh, okay. Well, the first thing that he had to do was he had 10 minutes to do 8 napkin folds. And so they tell him this, and he looks at me and he says, Ms. Schenck, we're screwed.
Ms. Schenck.
Well, I used to really teach it, but my kids just zoned out. They just were not into it.
It's one of these things that you want to maybe learn just a couple to be impressive and good, but you can go on the YouTube and learn anything you want.
So he knew about 4, because I do teach their basic. Just teach basic.
Yeah, some nice little ones. Yeah.
That they have to do. We don't get into all the, bishop's hat and all that kind of stuff.
Sailing the swan.
Yeah.
The teddy bear.
Anyway, I don't know. He said, I got 4. He really did. I was impressed with what he did in a short time.
Good. Well, good for him. Well, it sounds like, again, the pressure, they don't, I'm sure they felt some pressure just because you're there doing it. But from your end, they just know, hey, just I'm here to do the best I can. My gosh.
Yeah. So it was, it was fine. And then there's all the red tape. So my CTE director, men have no idea what it takes to do a culinary program.
What?
They have no idea that, I'm just going to say that. I think it all just magically happens. There's no
right,
you know, planning or having to go to the store or having to just boom. It's magic.
Food magically shows up just like at home. It's amazing.
And so a CTE director tells me before I leave, make sure on the, they give you a zeroed out, you know, receipt from, and I said, okay. And I did that. I got, you know, where we had paid it. We did not owe any money. It was done. They had sent an invoice previously that has, you know, the rooms, the amount, the taxes, and then it's tax exempt. So I had that invoice. And then I have this printout that the room's paid for. We paid by check, whatever, you know. And I get home and bring that to him. He's like, that won't fly. And I said, what? And he said, they've got to have, it's got to be on there what you stayed and all that kind of stuff. So I emailed them. I get another thing. It was our original invoice. And just at the bottom of it, it says paid by check, March 18th. Mm-hmm. You know, how much we paid and balance zero. Well, he was like, and so I got that to him and he's like, no, this is not right either. He wants it detailed out to March 15th, room number 324, this amount, this tax exempt. I mean, and I'm like, look, I said, so I don't know. He said, I'll take it to the bookkeeper, whoever. He said, I don't know if it'll work or not. And I'm thinking, what morons cannot look? What auditors, if that's the problem, cannot look at this and go, oh, they stayed three nights. Here's how much it is. And here's the check. And here's the zero balance that it was paid.
I don't know. Tim has stuff like that with his expenses where he'll come back and be like, I have to call the hotel.
Yes.
Same thing. It's always the hotel.
Yes.
And it's like, they needed this. And she was like, no. And I'm like, and that's why I'm just like, hey, how about the little people over in the little invoicing accounting? How about y'all just do that for these people then? Like, you do the calling yourself and get it. If it's that, you know, these teachers and engineers and people are busy. They're billing this many hours to sit there on the phone with the hotel.
I mean, I had not even taken roll in my first period class yet. Yeah. And I had the National Guard was there with the MREs, and which is a crazy busy day. Mm. And I said, well, I've got the MREs today. They're here and it'll be my planning period before I can get down there. He wanted receipts. He wanted this. He wanted that. And I said, it'll be my planning before I can get down there. He said, no, that won't work. Like, what do you think I do?
Okay. Should I just leave my class? Am I just here to, I'm going to just leave my class and come down and deal with this paperwork? Oh, stuff like that makes me mad. I just can't even.
So skills is very frustrating. It seems to be like this is how it is all the time. And I'm at a point where I'm about to say, you know, we're not going.
Yeah. If it's too much trouble, if it was something that was, I'm not saying it wasn't a valuable experience for those two boys. I'm sure that in some ways it really was, but it's a lot of expense and a lot of paperwork and a lot of, you know, all that.
So let me say this, and this is what's good. So he comes in, or my culinary, they have one that did culinary. When he said, Miss Shank, I'm just going to say it and I don't care. He said, it was hell. And he said, if you ever make anybody ever do that again, you are the meanest teacher at Hardin County High School.
Okay, that's a good evaluation. Thank you. Thank you for that feedback.
And he said, he did look at me and he said, you know, he said, I was very humbled. And I just looked at him. I said, that's a good thing.
And that can be valuable.
I said, that is a good thing. We all need humbling.
We can kind of see where we really line up with a bigger swath of people. And that it can be either taken to make him better. And hopefully, you know, sounds like it. Yeah. That's what it was the case that he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know,
and
so
it's very, you know, when you're one of the better ones in the class and, you know, you just kind of, and he's, you've got kind of that attitude of just blowing things off or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's like what we say all the time, you know, and I know you have a big high school, but still, like, you know, when all those kids go off into like different colleges all across the country. It's like, you're not the big fish in the little pond anymore.
Yeah.
You're now in with all the people that got in and all the, you know, there's a ton of people that are way better just grades, like, maybe went to a different kind of school that was harder. Now that's easier. You know, you just, you got to kind of, you're the little fish in the pond.
That's right. Yep.
And that's good for all of us.
It
We've all been the little fish.
No, we did. So there was no work walking around Monday night. And I'm going to tell you, I was exhausted because I did not sleep Saturday into Sunday.
Why not? What's wrong with you?
I don't know if it was just anxiousness about the trip or what.
But,
anyway, did not sleep well. And then I had to get up at dark 30 and get him over to his competition. And, and honestly, I mean, you're in charge of two boys in Chattanooga that, you know, I mean, they have their own room. We have their own room. I can lay out the law of don't leave your room once you're, you know, we're in, don't go anywhere by yourself. But when I fall asleep, I mean, I don't know what they're doing.
At 8 o'clock when we're asleep.
You know, at 8 o'clock, 8:30.
We don't know. What's going on?
You know, I mean, really, I mean, so you take kids really that you trust, but still you're very aware that anything could go wrong.
Yeah, you feel that. That's a big responsibility.
It is for 3 days. That's that's a lot.
That's a big one.
And how are they handling competition? Are they nervous? Are they overwhelmed? Are they? So there's just a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, you're on like extra. Yeah, you're in like parent and teacher mode, like, you know, intensely. Yes.
Yeah. So then Monday, so Jeremy competed Monday, and then came all the, you know, snow, you know, it's crazy. And so we couldn't really be walking around outside and stuff like we normally do. So Monday we went to Dave and Buster's Monday.
Oh, good move.
I sat in the booth and drank a root beer because I was like, I can't. I mean, Ron and Caleb went and I was like,
it is such overstimulation.
Oh my gosh. Caleb looked at me and said, he said, you're just sitting here. I said, I'm fine. Cassie, Caleb, I'm really exhausted.
I was going to say, you're tired and it had already been stimulated out your brain.
I was, yes. Yeah. And so, and I'm in there. I said, you know, for a girl who likes the serenity of the mountains, this is, and he said, you don't even have to say it. I said, okay.
You got
to
be in the right.
Yeah.
You got to be in a real special.
And they were. Well, and they were, you know, I mean, it's boys. They loved it. They
love those games. Those games, you know, it can be, you know, you have to be with the right people doing the right things. But yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of flashing lights.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. But y'all made the best of it.
We did. We did. You know, and I told the boys, I said, look, we've been to Chattanooga. We've had a good time. We've had some good food. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the work you did.
And, there you go.
You know, so.
Yeah. Excellent. Made the best of it. I'm sure you made some. I'm sure they have some memories that they'll cherish in their heart forever, Joni.
Forever.
And I'm glad you got to see Blub. So that's good. That's always a good reason to go down.
Good reason.
Yeah. Good. Well, I mean, we finished up our trip in Louisiana, which now seems like a million years ago because it kind of is. We're over a week later here. And I'm just trying to think. So Tim and I took Thatcher into New Orleans on Wednesday to catch his flight. And we were all kind of concerned because all the flight stuff was starting to get a little weird. But he had no trouble. He's got the pre-check too, which helped a little. But they were even saying some places the pre-check lines were late. But he had no problem. We got plenty early. And so we just, of course, planned on hanging out there for a little while of the day. As long as you're, you know, right there, you might as well. It's about a 2-hour drive back to New Iberia. So we hung out in New Orleans for a little bit. We went to this boutique shop, this little lady that I've seen on the Instagram. And I can't remember. What is her name? Oh, here's her name. Yvonne Lafleur. And she's this older lady. This is a picture of her from her younger. But she's older with dark black dyed hair, and she has this boutique. And apparently she's very well-known fashion icon, like her boutique. She's got the formal dresses and the fragrance and the hanky and the gloves. And she's a milliner. Her mother was a milliner. She makes the hat. Like, it's old school, you know, just unique, yes. unique place. So I'd followed her, or not followed, but seen her on Instagram, because she gets on and talks about, now this, if you need an event for a gala, you know, she just talks about all things. And my dad had even seen her YouTube. It'd come up on his thing. And he's like, have you seen this lady? And I'm like, I have. And he said, she's got the shop in New Orleans. I'm like, I'm going. So Tim and I popped over there and I just wandered around. It just kind of was like a museum almost. And spoke with her for a few minutes. She tried to sell me this $1,000 jacket and I was...
Tim didn't buy that for you?
Well, no. And I really wanted it. I'm not going to lie. He wasn't in there at the time, but because I went in early, he was doing something in the car, but it was this beautiful fur kind of, it was like a lightweight, I can't describe it, but it was longer, but it was like reversible. She showed me it like reverses to waterproof on the outside. It packs mm-hmm. down really light. It was actually like a really cool, I was like, that's a really neat jacket. And then I looked at the price tag and I was like, well, I have to think about it. I got to think about it. So we did that. And then we, of course, we headed over to Cafe du Monde. And why, I just need to know, why every time I go there, Joni, am I wearing a black outfit? What? And I know there's a good chance that I am wearing black on any given day. I do understand that. But every time I've gone there, I have had, and to this time I had a black dress. Now, it was a very, like a silk material, so thank God it brushed off. But if, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I was covered from shoulder to knees in powdered sugar.
Yes, they have some wonderful beignets.
They were so good, and I was so hungry. We hadn't eaten. They were delicious. We each got a little order, but you know,
everybody would know where you've been though, and they would be very jealous of you.
That's true. I mean, there's always that, but we sat there and of course, you know, there's just no way you can't, and I don't try, but you're just literally just covered. And I'm like, why do I always have a black top on or a black dress? Why does that always happen? You would think I would learn, but apparently, I didn't. And then we walked around after that. It was a beautiful day. It was such a pretty day, and it wasn't very crowded. We had no trouble parking because it was a Wednesday. It was after Mardi Gras. So really, it was a pretty calm, there was a lot of people, but it wasn't super crowded anywhere we went. So that was really nice, and we listened to some music outside. There was a jazz guy outside the St. Louis Cathedral, and we listened to that for a while, and it was sunny and warm. So we just wandered the French Quarter, as you do. Went into a couple of shops, and then we stopped at a little restaurant called the Royal Oyster Bar. And it was just kind of ground level, and it had the doors open up under the street. You know, we wanted to kind of be where we could look around. We were just going to get a drink and then keep going and find somewhere else to eat. But by then it was like 2:30, and then we were just like, let's just go ahead and eat here. Mm-hmm. And it was delicious. It was great. And Tim had, of course, he orders the grilled oysters, and then he ordered an oyster po' boy as well. So first of all, he orders these grilled oysters, and I ordered like a roast beef sandwich or something. Anyway, and these two plates of these oysters come, and she literally sets one down in front of each of us, six and six, you know, and I'm like, I didn't order, and he's like, he's like, those are mine. He's like, He ordered 12 oysters, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. So he had, though, actually tasted them, though, because they were baked grilled. Yeah. So they were like, really, they just had crab meat and like Parmesan on top and butter. So I pretty much just, saw the gray goo in the bottom, I was like, they were cooked. So they were, you know, but then he had his oysters now, and he was getting done with that. He didn't eat the whole thing, but he said, he looked up at me and he said, I think I've had my fill of seafood. I think I'm topped off. I think I might be done.
No crawfish etouffee.
I mean, all week. That's all he's eaten. All week. That's all. And he said, I think I've reached the limit. I think I'm done. And I looked at him. I went, well, probably till tomorrow, till something else. And sure enough, the next day we had to go and we had to get the crab au gratin wherever we were eating because they all told us that's what we had to give. So it made me laugh because he was like, I think I've reached my my limit.
I remember when we came back from Ireland, I was like, I do not want potatoes for a very long time.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, seafood at least is a broader, like he had lots of different kinds and different ways, but you're right. Like potatoes, there's kind of only, they're good. But after a while you're like, okay, give me some rice. Give me something a little bit different. But it was so funny while we were sitting there. And like I said, we were right by the French doors were open all down the restaurant. So we were just sitting there basically on this kind of tucked in from the sidewalk. And it's a great place to people watch because, you know, it's the French Quarter in New Orleans. So we were standing there and all of a sudden this guy walks by with his girl and he's got two, he's carrying two, one he's drinking out of and one he's just hanging on to, of those tall plastic alcohol drink. And it was a bright green alien.
Yeah. One. Okay.
So he's walking down the street with two of these giant because you can drink, in case y'all don't know, it wasn't juice. It was, you can drink alcohol on the streets in the French Quarter. They give you to-go things. So this man had two plastic alien cups. And I looked at Tim and said, if you ever see me drinking two out of two plastic alien alcohol cups, you need to schedule an intervention. We got to have an intervention because there's no need for that.
No, 100%. You know, if you were with me, we saw an alien cup, 100% we would be carrying those around.
That might be true. With you, anything is actually possible. that is 100% true. If you even went, should we? And I'd be like, of course.
Of course we should.
Of course we should. And you're probably not wrong, but I don't think I would have two for myself that I would just wander around and sipping on the whole time. Okay. All right. We don't know. You guys, yet to be determined.
Sounds like we need to test that theory.
Joni and I cannot go to the French Quarter together. And then we were sitting there a little while later and all we could see was kind of right in front of us. We couldn't see down the street at all because we were tucked into the restaurant. So we could just see kind of like, it was like a vignette of whatever walked by. And all of a sudden we see these guys and one guy comes by backwards, and then they're pushing an upright piano just down the sidewalk. Sounds and I looked at him, and Tim goes, oh, and I said, nothing says, you're just pushing a piano down the sidewalk. And they looked at it, I took a picture, and they're like, and we saw them across the street just pushing the piano down the, they had somewhere to be, you know, they had a gig, and they had to get their piano there. Anyway, a guy was outside singing, and, you know, it was, we turned down one street, And Tim, because Tim was like, oh, we're just like a half a block, we're just like a block away from Bourbon Street or whatever, you know, it's that way. And we kind of turned to start walking down that way. And I mean, as soon as I turned the corner, there was a guy with a doobie. I was puffing in my face. And I almost got high off of secondhand marijuana, and it smelled, and it was, and I was like, no, he's like, oh, you think we're good? I said, I think we're good. There's nothing that we need to, that's not really our cup of tea anyway, but we were just going to wander. But it definitely turns, you know, decisively more just bars or whatever. So, but we had a great time. My favorite thing, and you would have loved this. You would have loved this, Joni. So we were wandering after we ate. We just kind of wandered back to the parking lot, get to our car. And we've been in a couple stores, nothing major, but like a paper stationery store. That was fun and pretty. And, you know, I always kind of look for something. I'm like, oh, is there anything I want to get, you know, just to remind me of the trip? I hadn't found anything. And then there was this store. It was a perfumer in the French Quarter, this beautiful shop with all these beautiful, scents that they make. And of course, what do I walk in and ask for? I'm like, I'm going to need some gardenia or jasmine. And they hooked me up.
Awesome.
They hooked me up. So I was in this lovely perfumer in the French Quarter, busy, all, you know, lots of people in there and all their little bottles and their oils that they put on the sample thing. And you're sniffing and they're telling you about it. And then I decided on the one. They had a straight gardenia, which is very rare, you know, that you find a good single note gardenia. And I ended up getting that made into a lotion because they'll make the lotion, you know, fragrance the lotion for you. Or they have the Eau de Toilette and stuff. So I got one called an Eau de Toilette called Carnival, which is a gardenia jasmine kind of a blend. And it's their oldest fragrance. They've been there since like 1910 or 19, I don't know what. And they said, this is actually one of our oldest ones. And it's a beautiful floral. And then I went ahead and got straight gardenia lotion because I literally had been, I told the lady, she was so cute. And I said, young gal. And I said, on my list has been a gardenia lotion and y'all have just made my day. And she was like, oh. So I got my little bag with my little floral fragrances and I was just happy as I could be. And that was my treat from New Orleans. You know, we love to do that.
We do.
We do. When we go places, we love to get a little lotion, you know, like a local something and get a little, because that reminds you.
Hmm? A century.
A what?
Century.
A century.
I'm calling it.
Okay. I like it. I like a century. And then we walked down there a little more and we found a little shop that, had some sauces and they had just made some pralines and stuff like that. So we bought some of those to give out. And then we drove back to New Iberia, but it was a great, you know, a nice little visit, very calm. I said to Tim, I'm like, you know, man, it's just, everything's so different when the time with kids is, you know, your little kid is really fun, but it's just more stress. And my kids were very good travelers. They didn't whine if they were hungry. Like they were really good little troopers, but still, you know, whose diaper needs a thing? Who's too hot? Who? When do we need to eat? Where can we all eat?
And it's all. Where do they want to?
Right. Like, where can we eat that there's going to be something for them and isn't going to be like drunken alien bar people? It's a lot.
Yeah.
So not having any of that or having grown kids do the same thing, like it makes it so easy, like just to. You can just kind of relax and just do what you want to do, which is, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty great. So, yeah, we had a good time. I will say one thing that we did absolutely confirm on this trip to Louisiana is that they have the worst roads in the entire country. Without a doubt, point blank, they are the worst, and they admit it too. All the family was like, yeah, they're terrible. And we're like, why are your roads so bad when you don't have freezing, they are the bumpiest, jerkiest, like constant bumping, bouncing roads I've ever been on in my life, everywhere.
Why that is?
Well, Tim was like on one of them because you're literally going and you could see every joint in the road. You're bumping and it's part of it. I mean, part of it's bad construction. It's bad construction, but on another part, it's a little hard because they don't have any rock, you know, everything's just on sand. So, you know, but I'm like, surely we can figure that out. And basically they're like, yeah, we got some corrupt government. And I'm like,
imagine that.
I was like, you know, because these are the worst roads. And it was hilarious because I notice they were so bad to the point where you're like, this is bad. Like I'm like it's constant. And then you get on a good patch and Tim would try to change lanes. They were just bumpy everywhere you went down the highway. And, when we were leaving New Orleans, and I noticed this on our way over and as we were driving around places, I'm like, you know, I'm like, there's a lot of tire stores. I've never seen this many tire stores in my entire life. And then it all clicked. I was like,
ding, 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 ding.
I kid you not. Within a quarter mile, we passed five. I mean, they're tire store. And I said, here's what's happening is them politicians are taking that money and then they're setting up their little nephew, little Boutreaux or whatever. And they're saying, hey, you need to get in the tire business and we're going to make sure the roads are so bad that you have a lot of business.
Seed.
That's what's happening. But they are bad, and I've never seen so many tire stores. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
That explains it. So, but other than that, everything else is really good, but the roads are bad. So. Oh, yeah. Well, what else you got? Do you have any Ron stories for us? You know, we always like a good Ron story.
No, but I texted you a story the other day, and I'm going to just tell it. Can you do a sit-up?
Can I do a sit-up? Yeah, I can do a sit-up.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay. So since I've had C-sections, I can't do it.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, not full. I can't do it. Well, there is, and I did go back and read, you know, over the years, and that, you know, once they cut that muscle, mm-hmm. and my muscle's been cut through.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah,
that it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't.
Oh, it, you know, does. Well,
I can do partial mm-hmm. sit-up, but I can't do a whole full.
Okay,
thing.
And it does make a difference.
And I can do like I don't know what it's called. You know, where you raise your legs up and you just, they hover above the ground a little bit. Like,
oh, okay. Oh, that makes me hurt.
I can do all that stuff, mm-hmm. but just the pulling up,
yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Mm. And so there is this, if you've heard us talk in the past, I've been doing this workout called Firm Believer. And I modify, of course, they've got sit-ups and I modify it. So I'm doing, you know, different core things there.
Yes.
And there was one, and I did this when I was in high school. And I remember this whole thing, and I did it all the time, didn't think twice about it. And then it finally occurred to me that it's because it's this muscle that I can't.
Oh, use. Yeah.
So what this thing is you're laying on your back and you take your legs and you flip them over your head. It's called the plow. And so
it's called the what?
The plow.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You basically are like laying on your shoulders and your feet are up behind your head.
Right.
And I have struggled to do it. And I finally somewhat did it.
She was so proud, you guys. She sent me the thing, the picture of the person doing it in the thing. And she said, did it.
It's so streamlined in this picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just a stream perfect. Mm-hmm. It looks like a teepee almost, you know what I mean?
Yes, like a plow.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I told Holly, I said, I did it. It wasn't pretty. And it probably wasn't fully right, but I did it.
I did it.
I'm going to tell you that I nearly suffocated doing it. Because this woman also in this picture is not as endowed as I am. And yes. I am going to tell you that as I did this, my boobs fell in my face. I am struggling to catch a breath. And not only that, I am pretty sure that all my belly fat rolled up into my boobs and was splayed out on my face. And I am sitting there gasping for breath with my legs over my head.
I mean, what if you couldn't have gotten down?
It's a real thing. I mean, if you think if that muscle's not working, I finally got it up. There's no, I may not could have gotten it down. You know,
you would have
had
to just roll over on your side or something.
I don't know what I would have done because I couldn't yell. My mouth is covered up. I couldn't yell for Ron to come help me and get me out of this position.
Here's the text thread that I get. I get this picture from the Firm Believer of the lady in her leotard and tights, and she's flipped all the way over her legs, over her head, and toes are touching the floor. Like, she's really doing it. And Joni says, so here's a position in Firm Believer I couldn't do. It's taken 2 months, but I kind of did it today. And it just wasn't as pretty and streamlined, and my boobs nearly smothered me. And then I said, how did you do that with your boobs? Seriously. And she said, it wasn't pretty. I kept gasping, and now I might throw up. Pretty sure all my belly fat rolled up into my boobs, making them like dumbbells, and then splayed out over my face. I'm sure it looked like a bulk dough ball from some factory.
You know those big dough balls when they're these big factories making like bread?
And I just pictured this Joni dough ball with your hair on one end. And then I said, your death certificate reads, quote, asphyxiated by her own boobs, unquote. And then she said, yes, she could have gotten stuck and lost consciousness. And I said, Firm Believer is dangerous. That's what I'm hearing. It's very dangerous. You guys don't do it.
Well, and I also don't have the length. I'm not, you know, I don't have the length that woman did to try to. So I'm just like this wad, this balled up wad.
The dough ball with the hair.
Dough ball.
I can just picture it. Oh my gosh, it did make me laugh. I don't know where I was when I was reading that, but it gave me the giggles for sure. You guys, we try.
was, thank God there is not a camera in here.
Oh, please. That would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway. You guys, we're trying. We're trying to stay fit. We're trying to do the things. And sometimes we just need a hurricane cocktail and an alien to-go cup. That's what we really need. But
it did.
That is too funny. Well, when Tim and I got home, we had a slight argument, disagreement, because this has nothing to do with your biscuit dough, but it just made me think of it for some reason. Because I told him, I said, I'm going to get a clapper to put on your bedside lamp. You know, the little clap on, clap off, you know, one of those. I said, I'm going to get one of those because he will get in bed. And he will have his bedside light on, which I have no idea why he has that on, other than to get in the bed. Like, that's fine if my lights are out, or they're usually not. I'm usually still awake. But once he gets in the bed, before you get all settled down and all with your phone or whatever he's watching or listening to something, and I'm like, turn off your light. Because he's asleep in less than 10 minutes. He's gone. He's out. And his phone's still playing and his light's on. So what do I have to do every night? Turn out your light. Turn out your light. Whoa. Whoa. Turn out your light. And I'm tired of doing it. I'm like, just turn off your light. Why do you? And then he'll be like, I will. And then he'll go roll back over and go back. So I said, I'm going to get the clapper. And he's like, no. He's like, I'll just set up Alexa on that. Wait, why can't you just do, or like our app, the thing that he has our whole house on? I'm like, so now I got to open my phone up, get to the app, find that thing to turn off your light when I could just go. I was fit to be tied. I'm like, I'm getting it. You guys, I cannot be stopped. Do they still sell those?
I don't know if they do or not.
Because how much easier is that? I'm like, I can just clap that thing off. And I don't have to open an app and find the thing and do all that. I said, no, if you're not going to turn it off.
Times that I've heard Ron Shank, hey, Google. Hey, Google. Hey, Google.
I just can't. Hey, guys, Google. I can't do it. I just want to walk up to it. And ours isn't as bad as y'all's. Y'all's is really hooked up. We have some that are, and there's a couple that, and we've hooked up some to like little remotes to make it easier. Like those. What's your dog doing?
I think somebody is here. I don't know. And he's come run upstairs. Okay.
Okay, Shadow, honey. He's trying to tell you that there's a murderer.
Maybe.
I'll keep an eye out behind you there because you know.
Yeah.
Good dog, Shadow. But anyway, that was our latest argument was I'm like, I'm going to get a clapper. And he's like, no, just use the app and I'll set up the special thing. And I'm like, no. If you can't turn your light off, I can do it how I want to do it. Clap on. Clap off, clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
A clapper.
I'm getting it. Y'all watch. I hope they still sell them.
My goodness.
Got me. I'm bothered. All right. Are you ready for your recipe?
Ready for my recipe. And it's going to be really simple.
Oh, good. Ready.
Okay.
Okay.
So Easter's coming up, and one of the things that I make are cinnamon carrots. And so I'm going to tell you very quickly because you can do this before you're, you know, running out the door to church with everybody dressed in this and that. When you get up in the morning, just get a crock pot and put a stick of butter in it and put in, you know, a bag of your baby carrots and put about half a cup of brown sugar and a tablespoon of cinnamon in there. And stir it up and turn it on. Depends on how much time you need, if you need it on low or high, but turn it on and walk away.
That's brilliant.
And carrots, and they're done. Now, I like to add a little rosemary to mine.
Oh.
You can add thyme. You can add, if you want some sort of little herb in there, you can add whatever you want to it. But that's your basic thing, is just butter, brown sugar, and cinnamon. And carrots.
That is a great, in fact, that is on my, I am having baby carrots. I also like to do baby carrots at Easter because they're so cute, first of all, and they're sweet and they're just good. They're so cute on the plate and all that. And I'm going to do, I do like a butter and dill, but, that does sound really, but I bet I could do them the same way without without the sugar or whatever, but the cinnamon ones, that would be really good. But I feel like we might have to, I think this year we're going to get a honey baked ham. So I feel like that might be too much sweet.
Yeah, it could be.
But if it wasn't, that would be That would be amazing.
He ain't from the South, y'all.
I'm sorry. I'm there for it. I'm there for the butter. I'm there for the cinnamon sugar. Anyway. I'm sure those are delicious. And it's also time for your top three.
Top three.
I know, and I'm pulling it up right now. Let's see where my... It's all in my orders. I got to get my glasses.
She's so organized, you guys. She's got her pearls on. She's got her glasses on.
Ooh, I didn't have to cook today. We made Easter eggs because we are cooking for the egg hunt.
Nice.
Okay. I found... Now, I have had all my beach towels just in my bathroom. They're in a basket that's kind of fallen apart now. And so I cleaned out my bathroom, cleaned those up, and I ordered... and I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, but I like it. Ooh. And it is it's just one of those woven baskets, but it's a large, they call it a blanket basket.
Oh, nice.
But it's that rope woven, that rope woven basket, and it's got handles on it. And I have now moved it, into like the DM, put it by the back door. But as you're going out to the pool area, put all my towels in there, put sunscreen in there.
Oh, perfect.
And you could just walk out the door.
That is awesome. That was a great idea. I love that.
It's a gray. They also have, they have a black and camel and a dark gray and black. They've got, you know, just a lot of different colors there for, you know, blues, pinks, whatever.
Oh, wow. Nice. And is it like a plastic weave or is it like a... natural fibery kind of weave.
The natural fiber.
How pretty. That's a perfect idea. Nothing better than a big basket for all that stuff.
Let's see if I can find what it's made out of, but it is like cotton kind of thing.
Okay. Like a fabric thing. Okay.
Fabric.
Nice.
Let's see what materials. Durable cotton material.
Oh, very nice.
No chemicals, no plastics.
Wow. Excellent. Yeah. I look forward to using that.
Yeah. Do you now?
I do.
Okay. And then I found some. So I told you my curtains fell apart. Did I tell you this? I washed my curtains that were in the bathroom.
No, you didn't tell me this.
Shredded in the washing machine.
You're kidding.
They shredded. And so I found, I went and looked, I went, you know, just because they're just in my bathroom, I went to Lowe's and didn't have anything that I liked. So I did find some on Amazon and they're boho curtains and they've got little tassels on them.
Oh, cute.
I like them a lot. Oh. So I was looking around for that too. I found these, you know, you pull your curtains back and, you know, we always had the little hooks and they hooked your curtains hooked around and, a lot of these curtains just don't do this anymore, but I found these magnetic curtain tie backs.
Oh.
And so these have beads. They're beaded. They're wooden beads. And then you tie them. You can fix your curtain however you want to do it. And then they just snap together. I mean, it's just a magnet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I like them.
That and sounds very cute. We know you love some tassels.
I do love some tassels. Yeah. No, these aren't even tassels. It's just wooden.
I know, but on the curtains, you said you had tassels. Curtains, yeah.
On the tassels.
Tassels and beads. She loves it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's it. You can get, and I got Ron, they even had some like in a rope thing and Ron needed some, he looked at them and he said, oh, I need some of that for my office. And so I got him.
Nice. That sounds like a very easy solution because you're right. Sometimes it's hard to install something and work with all that. That sounds very easy.
And they were relatively cheap. I mean, they were
nice.
$9 or something for four.
Okay.
Yeah, it was easy, so.
Excellent. Good. That's a great top three. Very helpful household solutions. That's what we all need. That's what we all need right now. Household solutions. Well, I hope everyone had a great week off from having Designer Cornbread. I'm sure you guys enjoyed your spring break, or maybe it's your spring break now. Maybe you're lounging by the beach listening to us.
My spring break comes Friday.
Oh, yeah. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, we will be...
get the pool done and I can get flowers planted.
Oh, that's going to be really fun. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be enjoyable. I hope the weather should be pretty good. So that'll be very fun. It feels so good to take time to do stuff like that. Right now, our yard is like the pit of despair. So I'm just waiting. Yeah. Anyway, it just is what it is right now. And it keeps getting cold and keeps doing things. So we're getting there. But you know what did happen this weekend though, Joni?
What?
We took off Suzanne Sugarbaker's jacket cover and we charged up her battery. And she's going to be ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll. So that has made me very happy. I haven't gotten out in her yet, but Tim got, we got the cover off and he charged up the battery and that's my convertible, y'all. In case you have not heard and you're like, what are they talking about? Her name is Suzanne Sugarbaker. So stay tuned for further adventures.
Firm believer.
She's going to go do firm believer. Don't get stuck. Okay. Make sure you have a safety plan. Your phone next to you or something. But until next week, we will find out next week if Joni gets out of her firm believer exercise pose safely or what happens with that. So hope you guys have a fantastic week and we will talk to you soon. Goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Why do you do that?
What?
Joni.
What?
Why? You need some moisturizer, girl. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Well, I don't even know whose face I have on, actually.
Another screenshot's been taken, so prepare. You're going to keep showing up. I meant to send you the screenshot from last week of you, or the 2 weeks ago, if you were in the... whatever you had on, the leprechaun outfit, but then it got too hard and I couldn't figure out how to do it out of town. And so I didn't.